journey of a lifetime.
From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. A journey of heart through time and place. A journey of heart through time and place.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الحمد لله Welcome back again, dear viewers of Madinah channel. You are watching the beautiful program, mashallah. And this is the program called The Journey of a Lifetime. Once again, Mubarak to all of those Islamic brothers and sisters and children who have set on this wonderful and amazing once-in-a-lifetime journey. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. How fortunate are those who have touched the lands of Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara, who got to drink the beautiful purified water, Abi Zamzam, who got to make tawaf of the Kaaba, who had an opportunity to make sa'i, who spent moments on the plains of Arafah. Allahu Akbar. Mina, Muzdalifah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla take us all for Hajj and for Umrah. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Yes, dear viewers, and tonight's program is even more special simply because we have our Ziyad Madani with us, mashallah. We say welcome, Maulana Sahib, to the program.
Jazakallah.
And alhamdulillah, I think viewers were awaiting Hazrat's presence, mashallah, and Maulana Sahib is with us tonight. Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Acha, Maulana Sahib, a question comes to mind, right? On a note that will, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, pave the way to our discussion rather, inshallah, should I say.
Right.
We have often seen people take du'as from people.
Mm-hmm.
Mulana Sahib, please make du'a for me. Hafiz Sahib, please make du'a for me.
Right.
Mufti Sahib, please make du'a for me. We often ask people to make du'a for us. And the du'a of ulama, scholars, pious people is accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They are close to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, yes. If that is the case. And many a times we actually forget that mashallah, we have an opportunity to request the person to make dua for us. Oh, we could not say make dua for us, or we made khidmat of the person who made dua for us in return.
Yes.
At times it happens like that.
Absolutely.
I want the dua of my father, I would go and sort out whatever needs to be sorted. And just for him to say, Allah keep you blessed, Allah keep you prosperous. And ye jo duaen hoti hai na maa baap ki, har banda chahta hai ki mere liye mere maa baap dua karein.
Absolutely.
Every person wants that. But subhanallah, for many people who reached the heights of sainthood, who became very popular after some time, you know. During their young days, they weren't so popular and famous, but they actually took the dua of an animal and became famous.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Uzur. They took the dua of an animal, like Shaykh Uthman rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali. Great, great person. And subhanAllah, what a beautiful madar sharif he has. Shaykh Uthman rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali. It is stated about this great personality that he had a shawl on his body, subhanAllah. And he saw a donkey was injured, Sayyid. Allahu Akbar. So all he did was, he noticed that this wound was so severe and it caused so much of taklif to the donkey. He had no bandage with him. He took his shawl and he tied it around the wound and the sore of this donkey. And it is stated that this donkey made dua for him.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. This donkey had made dua for the Shaykh, subhanAllah. And it's stated in the kitab that the donkey looked at the Shaykh as though it was supplicating for him. Allahu Akbar. And although the supplication could not be heard, subhanAllah, it changed the Shaykh's life, Sayyidi. Subhanallah. He became a great saint and was considered amongst the pious of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Subhanallah.
Tazkiratul Awliya is the kitab's name. Very famous kitab.
Yes.
So if an animal can make dua for your prosperity or for your life to become better, then what about the baddua, Huzur?
Absolutely.
What
absolutely.
About the opposite or the flip side of the coin?
Absolutely.
So there are many people who torture animals, who cause the grief to animals, who pinch them, irritate them, worry them. Because they are mute, they cannot speak, they can't complain back to you. They have a tongue, but you can't understand their lingo and language.
Yes.
And people would whip them, would hit them, especially those donkey carts, horse carts, you know. I don't know about South Africa, but in other countries where I have witnessed this donkey cart stories, they are loaded with sort of saman, with a lot of goods, and those people would keep whooping it at the same place. I drove past donkey carts hearing the sound of the whoop.
Allah.
Lashing them, and they have to go uphill half the time.
Sure.
They are given food, not given food. They are taken care of, don't know. But this is how you use them on the field during working hours. What's your input regarding this?
Absolutely, absolutely. Munasab mentioned very importantly that animals can give dua. They can give you good duas, and that takes effect. Mm. Subhanallah, many times that can be accepted, yes, as well. And then they can also give you bad dua. Mm. They can curse you, and that can cause much difficulty. There's another beautiful waqi'ah that comes in one of the narrations as well, regarding someone who was very thirsty and went to the well to drink some water. And when they took some water out from the well, and they quenched their own thirst, and then they saw a dog. This person saw a dog licking the wet sand, the mud, because of thirst. And this person said, if I was so thirsty and I needed water, so this dog too is thirsty, it also needs water. So this person filled that person's shoe and brought it to the dog to offer the dog water to drink. And this person was forgiven as a result of that. So being good towards animals is a result, is a cause of forgiveness of one's sins. But being bad to animals is a cause of bringing on sins. So this whipping of a donkey and whipping of horses and so on, and whipping of various animals, this should most definitely not be done. Because just think that if someone was to whip us, was to hurt us, after the first whip, second whip, third whip, don't dua start to come in one's heart that, ah, this person is doing this, may they feel the same, may they also be punished. So these feelings tend to come in the hearts of human beings. Why do we think that animals don't have those feelings as well? The way humans experience pain, animals experience pain too. And the way humans can feel bad that they are hurt, so too can animals feel bad. And remember this animal,
Allah,
that if any animal is being oppressed, being whipped or being hit, then remember that it might not be able to take any revenge. But Allahu Rabbul Izzah will take revenge on behalf of
Allahu
that.
Akbar,
now this
Allahu
is very dangerous, because you hurt a person, they could take revenge. Especially if you hurt a strong person, the strong person may take revenge. But when we hurt an animal, the animal is not capable of taking revenge. And when we think that revenge will be taken, but it will be taken by Allahu Rabbul Izzah, then we should be very afraid. So now before anyone whipping an animal, hurting an animal, immediately think that revenge could be taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I can't manage that. If a person just imagines this, then I think the person who is loading a donkey and overloading a donkey and whipping it to carry things uphill, they would prefer they carry the load themselves rather than facing
Allahu
such
a Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah Kareem, shower mercy on us, Ya Sayyidi.
Ameen.
There are so many children who torture these animals. Even I think it starts from smaller creatures.
Yes.
I have seen little children at the age of 7, 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. They would catch lizards, poke them, put needles in their backs, in their stomachs, cut their feet off. You know, swing cats by their tails, Ya Sayyidi. Mm-hmm. At times they would swing them and toss them over with their ears,
sure,
throwing them off roofs and off places, just causing taklif and harm to them. I don't understand what's the reason behind this. Many others would find it as a fun just to hurt birds flying, you know, with such weapons that are just air guns. You know, they're just to play for fun's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And they gain fun by this. Many others do fishing. They love fishing. In South Africa, we have many fish lovers. I don't know about the UK and other countries, but yeah,
yes,
fishing is a hobby and a half.
Mm.
And people take this sport very serious.
Right.
And subhanallah, some catch just for fun. They caught the fish. The cleave to bring it out of the water, you threw a bait, the fish came, caught your bait, you pull, you reel the fish out of the water, ah, what a nice fish, go back in the water.
Yes, this happens with hunting as well. Fishing is a type of hunting as well. People tend to hunt, but hunting for what reason? Fishing too, fishing for what reason? Are we fishing so that we can catch the fish and eat the fish? Are we fishing just because it's a sport? You get
people that are fishing
for certain animals or certain kinds of sea creatures that they know they're not going to eat, and nobody is going to eat those creatures.
100%.
But they are catching those creatures. So what's the purpose behind catching the creature? It's just a sport. It's just an entertainment. Now just consider the amount of taklif, the amount of difficulty that I put that creature through when I have no purpose for it. I have nothing besides just my entertainment. So for our entertainment, we are hurting someone else. For our entertainment, we are causing difficulty. Yes, it might not be a person, but this is the makhluk of Allah. It is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it should never be such that just for entertainment, we cause any difficulty to any creature. In fact, there's a beautiful narration that Rasulullah advised his blessed companions as well, and by advising them, advised the entire ummah as well. The beautiful hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that travel on animals in a good manner, and when it's not necessary to be on them, then get off them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you're in the marketplace or in the streets, before people would sit on donkeys, they'd sit on horses and camels. But Huzur Ekrem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that don't use these animals as a chair to just sit upon and speak to someone else, because there's no purpose of it carrying you. You can jump off and speak. That means there's unnecessary difficulty being placed on the animal. And unnecessary difficulty must not be placed on an animal. When you look at the height that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes us to, this is not seen as difficulty usually by people, that I'm just sitting on the animal. But what's the purpose behind it? Just as a chair? So if it's just as a chair, then you're not allowed to sit Allahu on that animal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advising us to this extent, when we pay attention to this, then hurt the animal, hunt the animal unnecessarily, hit the animal, beat the animal, treat the animal badly, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes us to the height of care for animals.
Subhanallah. And why would he take us to that height, Sayyidi? I'm just thinking as Mohsab speaks, right? He is so merciful towards his enemies.
Allah Allah.
Then how much more merciful would he be towards that group and towards that creation that cannot speak?
Allah.
That's muted, in other words. They speak, we cannot understand, Sayyidi. Yes. But subhanallah, so many riwayat where companions, or rather should I say, animals complained to the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla about their owners.
Yes.
Camels would complain in a way where, well, one narration says the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla placed his affectionate hands over the head of this camel that then let out some tears. Mm. And with its tears, it gave its kahani. Allahu Akbar. Likewise, there are so many other animals. And that is why the poet says so beautifully, Sayyidi. He says, Hiran ne oot ne chidiyo ne ki yahi faryad. Hiran ne oot ne chidiyo ne ki yahi faryad. Ke mere gham kama dawa huzur jaante hain ke mere gham kama dawa huzur jaante hain ke mere gham ka madawa huzur jaante hain. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows the pain of each and every person. Allahu Akbar. Faryad ummati jo kare hale zar mein, mumkin nahi ke khair-e bashar ko khabar na ho.
Subhanallah.
That's dear views of Madani channel. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had set and placed rules and regulations and adab and respect of each and every creation of Allah azza wa jalla. He has taught us the manner in which we should show and give respect to them, how we should take work from them. Is there any religion in the world that is so explicit about how good you should behave with animals?
Allah.
It is Islam. It is this beautiful deen. Aur jab hum janwaron ke sath aisa sulook karne ka hume hukm mila hai, phir insano ke sath kaisa sulook karna chahiye?
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Just consider and reflect and contemplate for a moment. Subhanallah. It is a sunnah, Sayyidi. It is said that subhanallah, our beloved Aqa and Master would have goats as well.
Yes.
He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the fortune of those mubarak animals that had the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What maqam and what status they have got, subhanallah. The earth which waits to kiss the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are those mubarak transportations and rides upon which the beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used, subhanallah, his camel. And there was a donkey that was also very famous. And there's a goat also, mashallah, of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's one narration, Sayyidi. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had petted these animals, especially goats, speaking about goat. The narration says, if any person keeps a goat in his home, 70 doors of dependency will close.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah.
70, 70 darwaze regarding being muhtaj.
Yes, yes.
Dependent. These doors shall close just in order to pet a goat and be kind towards it.
Subhanallah. Rasulullah had this beautiful habit. Actually, I was amazed by this because we tend to lose this way. But it's so important. Rasulullah, when he would have any animal, he would name the animal. Mm. Which people tend to forget. Like how many people, example, it's the season of Qurbani. Mm. How many people name their Qurbani animal?
Hey, hey, hey.
Allahu Akbar. But Rasulullah would name his blessed animals. The camel of Rasulullah had a name. The mule of Rasulullah had a name.
Subhanallah.
In fact, this gives importance to these things. Mm. When you put a name to them, in your life, it takes an importance. Now, if someone's going to name their pet or even name their qurbani animal, suddenly it has a very high status in their mind. So now they don't just think, I'm hurting a thing, I'm hurting a creature. Now they feel like I'm hurting something that's close to me, Allah. Something that has a name, Allah. Something that sort of has an affiliation with me. And I love this, that it didn't only, it wasn't just limited to people that were given names, nor was it even limited only to animals. Rasulullah ﷺ would name his belongings.
Wow, subhanAllah.
You'd find that each belonging of the beloved Nabi ﷺ would give names to them. And this gives importance to things around us. So one of the ways I would say to increase the rahmah in your heart for the animals that are around you, the qurbani animal included, is to give it a name. Hmm. If you give it a name and a nice good name, then inshallah azza wa jal, you're going to start feeling a little bit more affiliated to it. You'll feel a softness towards it. And I'm hopeful that this will help people to treat animals in a better manner, inshallah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. We are so fortunate, Sayyidi. Imagine, we benefit from these animals. What a wonderful and amazing Madani pearl you shared. And I'm just thinking, you spoke about forgetting, Sayyidi. You know, even sometimes forgetting is a blessing.
Yes.
Allahu Akbar. You know, if our brothers and sisters have to remember, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, we cause so much of harm and hurt to people. Now just imagine for a moment that we're people that never forgot anything. How much of grudges and how much of hatred we may have in our hearts for others. Yani bachcho ko mara jata hai. Maan lijiye ki aapne kisi bachche ko mara. Aur bachche ki fitrat mein, in the nature of children especially, to forget because of they know they're being disciplined sometimes. They know, okay, you're bigger than me, you are more powerful than I am. So, bachche bhool jate. Imagine if children have to remember each and everything. How would they come close to their parents? How do they gain discipline? Mm. Likewise, Sayyidi, imagine animals, if they never have a weak memory and they remembered everything.
Mm.
How difficult would it be? Because then there are so many animals that have horns and have huge horns. Then we see how they are taken care, especially qurbani time.
Mm.
I'm not saying about those animals who don't have horns. Even animals with horns and all the works, they are still mistreated.
Mm.
As Mohsab said, people take rides on animals, they hold the horns like it's holding a steering or something, and they make funny videos just to upload for 30 seconds, for 1 minute to get some likes and some viewers. Astaghfirullah, al-a'udhu billah. They are doing the truth, but imagine if that animal could take revenge and did not forget. Even after 10 years, if it saw you and remembered, this person here pinched me at once, this person Allah poked me. So forgetting sometimes, it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is in the nature of man. But subhanAllah, to forget and to forgive is a good thing, Sayyidi.
Absolutely.
To forgive despite remembering, subhanAllah. And the other thing is that we should not even think about doing this, especially the month of Qurbani, Sayyidi. People do funny stuff with animals. We have a special video clip of our honorable, beloved Mawlana Nushad Attari.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah.
And we are wanting to have a look at this video, mashallah, very detailed video with one of, mashallah, a very good Islamic brother who knows a lot about animals, mashallah. And he's given some madani pearls with relation to the size and the weight and the way it should be kept, so on and so forth. So some guidelines we're going to get in this little 10-minute clip. And I'm requesting the viewers to stay tuned with us until the end of the program and not missing out on this video clip as well, which we're going to listen to, inshallah, just in a moment's time, inshallah, azza wa jalla. But with relation to Qurbani itself, Sayyidi, Qurbani is for 3 days throughout the world. But people who rush and try to complete all their numbers in one day, they put a lot of struggle through the animals, Sayyidi. A lot of pressure. I have noticed this because I have been very closely involved, especially where there are cattle being zaba, slaughtered, and many other animals together with that. So we notice, there's 5 minutes left for example, for Maghrib, or 10 minutes left, and that last 5-10 minutes is like a chaotic for a lot of people. They want to make sure they are slaughtering their animals on the first day, yet 10, 11, 12. You can go till the 12th day, even 1 minute before Maghrib. As ulama ikram have stated that your animal can be slaughtered, you can make qurbani. But from the first day, everybody wants to complete, get done and over. And for the next 2 days, I want to relax. So any madani pool before we go towards our clip, inshallah.
Absolutely. This rushing the qurbani for the first day, yes, if you have a few animals to do dhibah, to sacrifice, then it's fine, you can manage to do within the first day. But rushing the slaughter, rushing the sacrifice of animals, unfortunately, can cause you to cause much difficulty to animals. Because in the rush, you don't take care of how you bring the animal to its place of sacrifice. You know, which animals can see. These are guidelines that are very important as well, that Islam gives us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guided us that once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that someone was sharpening his knife in front of the animal that was to be sacrificed, and that person was advised, that don't do such a thing. That do you want to kill the animal many times? That he's going to see that he's going to be slaughtered and then you want to sacrifice it. So we shouldn't do that. We should ensure. In fact, Rasulullah gave this much of guidance as well, that ensure that your knife is sharpened beforehand, the sacrifice, because you don't want to sharpen in front of the sacrificial animal, nor do you want to struggle at that point, because the animal goes through difficulty. At the same time, there's a narration of one Sahabi also seeing someone hold the leg of an animal. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. He saw someone hold the leg of an animal and drag it to the place of sacrifice. And he advised the person that don't do so. Don't do so because you're dragging the animal, you're causing it difficulty. So what happens, and then also we're not supposed to let other animals see an animal that is being sacrificed, because again it may put them in this kabrahat, in this worry, in this fear. So we must try not to do those things. Don't place animals in difficulty. Otherwise, as human beings are affected psychologically, animals too are affected psychologically.
You I see agree, 100%.
People that have pets, you would know better than others that if a pet happens to see its owner hurt or injured, it becomes worried. Many people, they pass away and their pets tend to take that psychological strain that I no longer have the same owner. Where is my owner? They tend to get worried. So they get worried.
No, definitely.
They also feel fearful. So rushing the slaughter is going to, or rushing the sacrifice is going to cause you to bring animals in front of other animals. They're going to see that. People tend to drag animals. They tend to throw them down upon the ground. They tend all these sorts of things tend to happen when we are rushing. But if we take our time about it, if we say that Allah Ta'ala blessed me with 3 days to do Qurban, so if I can do sacrifice of a certain number of animals on the first day, then I still have the second day, and then
some
I still have the third day.
Mashallah.
So inshallah ta'ala, I will take my time about each qurbani, and I will ensure that every animal is treated with the izzah, with the respect, and with the care that it deserves. Then alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, you will be earning lots of thawab from this qurbani, the sacrifice. But imagine if someone wants to earn thawab but then ill-treats animals, and in the place of thawab he earns sins, then what a loss such a person.
Alhamdulillah. So yes, dear viewers, mashallah, our Honorable Ziyad Madani given some beautiful Madani pearls for those Islamic brothers who want to slaughter in their homes. Mashallah, but brother, please get some help for someone to hold the legs, hold the head.
Absolutely.
There's certain matter and certain method of holding the animal down before you slaughter. I know, mashallah, you're strong enough, but please follow these guidelines, inshallah.
Absolutely.
They are very helpful. And we're speaking in general. We are not specifying it to qurbani animals alone. I'm speaking about the fish that you have in a glass.
Mm.
I'm speaking about the bird that you have in the cage.
Mm.
You love to pet them, mashallah. You give them food, you give them seed, you're doing all of that, mashallah. There's thawab and reward for taking care of them, for showing affection and love, as Mu'asab mentioned. But to unnecessarily cage them, imagine if you were caged up. Yet, ijazat has been given, providing that you are taking care of the animal.
Absolutely.
But subhanAllah, imagine just for a showpiece, you have a small glass, a small bowl with one guppy fish inside.
Yes, people tend to do this.
It goes and hits the glass. Wo sochta hai ki aage rasta. It cannot see the glass. It goes and knocks and comes back. It gets injured and gets hurt. Amir al-Sunan spoke about this on Madini channel.
Yes.
It's mentioned in the booklets as well of Dawat Islami, of how careful should we be. This is how sensitive Islam is on these matters, dear viewers. And if you only learn how to not cause harm to an ant, you would learn how to give respect to a human being. Allahu Akbar. They are awliyas of Allah Azza wa Jalla who are so sensitive even about damaging and hurting an ant.
Subhanallah.
Then imagine how much of adab and respect and reverence they may have in their hearts for human beings. Think about it, dear viewers. Contemplate. Our children today think nothing. It's just a fly, it's just an insect, but that has life.
Actually, Munasab, that's where it starts. It starts when children are children, and the parents can advise them, but they see these things as insignificant.
Yes.
It's just ants. They're just eating, they're killing the ants, they're stomping the ants. But that's the age to teach them that, oh my child, this is the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Parents see their children hurting birds. Parents see their children hurting cats and so on. And many parents don't say anything. They just
They say, no, boo-boo, boo-boo. Boo-boo.
Boo-boo. Oh, so they make them feel like it's a very bad thing, that no problem, chase the thing away. If we see our children hurting another creature, striking fear into the heart of another creature, it's our duty to train them from that age. If we don't train them from that age, then they'll grow up with these sorts of mindsets and these sorts of habits. 100%. That these are just things that we can hurt, we can abuse, we can throw them around. We don't want to grow up a generation that is going to bring sins upon their shoulders by oppressing the creation of Allah.
200% correct. May Allah Kareem pardon our sins, forgive us, dear viewers, give us tawfiq and ability to pay and fulfill the rights of these animals, especially if you are the owner of pets. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the aql and the brains and the heart to take care of them. Remember, there's reward and sawab for every moist lover, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So keep this hadith behind your mind, keep the ahadith of treating them well behind your mind, and this change your entire perception about how one should look after animals. There are people who leave their animals in their homes for days and weeks, and they go, they come back, they expect for the animal to be alive and for it to be healthy, sound, whatever the case may be. Unintentionally mistakes happen, but plan well. If you're going entire day for work, people lock the animals in the cars, in their homes, they are suffering, they are dying. Some people are in situations, you don't want to give your pet away, nor do you want to sell your pet, nor do you want to put your pet to sleep. There are some questions which should not be asked, but it's for you to think for yourself. You know, what should I do in this situation? What should I do? I'm such a busy person, I can't take care of my animal that I've bought. At one stage, my children liked it. But now they're all gone big, they're married. This person has, from one cat, many kittens. They don't know how to take care of them. Sayyidi, there's a lot of situations out there in various parts of the world. Allah Kareem hame mu'af farmaye. Ab hum us package ki janib jaate hain. Let's listen and let's watch this beautiful clip by Maulana Naushad Attari. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, the season of Hajj, Udhiyya, Qurbani, Bakri Eid, some call it Bakra Eid as well, is upon us. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, I'm standing here at a pin where we have, as you can see, many different types and breeds of sheep, which we will talk about in a few minutes, inshallah Azza wa Jal. But keep in mind, Udhiyya, Qurbani is wajib upon every Muslim male and female adult who possesses nisab, the threshold, within the days of the Eid itself, starting on the 10th and all the way to the 12th of Dhul Hijjah, even if a person possesses before the sunset of the 12th of Dhul Hijjah. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, in different parts of the world, people, they choose to sacrifice sheep, goats, some places camels, cows, buffaloes, bulls. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have many different types of sheep. And I'm here with my Suhail bhai, mashallah Azza wa Jal, who is an expert in this field as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Are you Suhail bhai? Okay. Alhamdulillah, mashallah Azza wa Jal. I see you have a very beautiful setup over here. And mashallah, if we can just have a look at some of these animals. So these all are sheep, am I right?
Ji, Huzur, basically all these pens are categories of sheep. They're all
so when
sheep.
We talk about ram, lamb and sheep, these are different types of sheep?
These are different categories under sheep.
Okay. So ram would be one with the horns?
Correct. Not necessarily.
Okay.
You could get rams without horns. They
right.
call them polled animals,
right.
meaning a sheep without horns.
Right.
So some of them are bred specifically
right.
with horns and without horns.
Okay. And when we talk about lamb, we're talking about smaller animals.
Correct. Babies.
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 So what is ram lamb then?
Ram
lamb. This term from some people.
Ram lambs would be basically like these in this pen.
Yeah.
And that pen. Some would male sheep
right.
with horns would or without horns.
Okay.
But ram meaning mainly male sheep.
Dear viewers and listeners, remember if a sheep, for example, a sheep's horns, they lose it from birth, so then it's fine for qurbani. But there are some details which you should get in touch with the Darul Ifta regarding the defects about the horns itself. If it's broken, how much, if it's broken, doesn't qualify to be included as a qurbani animal for sacrifice. Okay, we also hear people talking about the grades, like
G.
AA,
G.
you have, I think, AAA. If you can maybe elaborate a little bit about this.
So our grading system in South Africa, you get from A grade right up to C grade.
Okay.
So okay. It's mainly the quality of meat. So softness to hardness.
Okay.
And
which is the most tender?
So A grade would be the most
tender. A grade would be. And so, I presume that would be more expensive?
Yeah. Okay. That is the most expensive. That's basically what we consume on a daily basis.
Right.
So you basically lamb would be your A grade. So like what's here and what's there.
So these are all A grade?
Yeah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah.
So
mashallah.
It's like they, by the look of the faces, the horns, as Ziyad Saab, you would watch him on Reformation of Ummah.
Yes.
I stated that don't let the horns and sizes confuse you. Mm. They are babies.
Okay. So, okay. When we're saying babies, like what age are we talking about?
So 8 months and older. Or 6 months and
eight
older.
8 months and
six
older?
6 to 8 months and older.
Right. Okay. Dear viewers, keep in mind that for a sheep or a goat to qualify as a sacrificial animal, it must be 1 year old. However, ulama ikram have mentioned that if the sheep is even 6 months, but it is big enough that from a distance, if you look at it, you would say that no, it's a year old. So that also qualifies as a sacrificial animal, a qurbani animal. If you can just move a little closer here. I see the mouths are moving, so they're enjoying something there. Oh, are they just eating this grass?
Jizur, so
is this normal grass, hay we're talking about?
No, hay is another category of grass.
Okay.
The grass we mainly feed in South Africa, which is very popular in Durban,
yes,
is called lucerne.
Lucerne.
It's a type of leafy grass, especially grown and planted for
are there sheep. Any types of like additives, maybe like vitamins or something put in there?
It's a highly nutritious grass.
Okay.
A lot of vitamins.
Right.
So if you don't have the, like in a city, we don't have the luxury of having access to fields and special nutritious feed.
Right.
So this fills that void.
Right. Okay.
For the animal.
And what do they drink? Just water?
Yeah. Cool
plain,
water.
Plain water.
Plain water is the best.
Right.
We try, for us over here, especially with in our setup, we try to keep the water as clean as possible. So it's changed 2 to 3 times a day.
Okay, so that saves it from being contaminated.
Correct.
Perhaps?
It saves it from being contaminated because you'll notice they make a mess of the water with grass and food and excrement. So it's highly important the water is changed. You'll notice they won't drink. Sometimes if the water stays like that, it can go 2-3 hours, they won't drink, which is not good.
Yeah. Also, you do have somebody supervising and checking on the changing the water, checking on the feed, if there's enough feed as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so mashallah, a very good setup you have here. But I see there's like different different categories, or like why have you put them separately in different pens?
So we sorted them, alhamdulillah, according to their sizes.
Yes, okay.
Their weights.
Yeah.
And obviously their grades. So lamb, ram lambs, hamels. So here we've got lambs in both pens, but varying weights.
You know, when you're saying lamb, in many people's mind, we get this understanding that lamb is something small. But when you look at this, I mean, we will think that this is a grown-up, but it's still a lamb, actually.
It's still a lamb.
Okay.
How we identify...
There's many
misconceptions.
Yeah.
So, but the primary identification is very simple, is to check the, as Masa will know, the mouth.
The
how
teeth
many
that we're
teeth,
talking about, right?
How many teeth are there?
Okay.
If there's teeth, then it gets slightly older. So, you get the 2, 5, and a full
so
set.
So, are we saying that the more teeth it has, the older it is?
Correct.
Oh,
the more
I
teeth
see.
The animal
I
has,
see.
The older it will be.
So, dear viewers and listeners, remember, from 1 year old for sheep and goats, for camels, some people love camel meat and they sacrifice in different countries. So 5 years old, a camel should be. And for cows, buffaloes, bulls, from 2 years old. And that obviously you can ask the farmer as well.
Yeah.
Or you can check the teeth.
A practical example would be like if we open this animal's mouth, it'll have no upper teeth. But if you open the animal's mouth...
Okay, if you can just demonstrate for us. If they don't bite, do they?
They don't bite, but they can be highly sensitive to touch.
Oh, I think so he's ready for action. Sheep are normally very calm, you know, calm and collected. And if it's a problem, then...
No, it shouldn't be too much of an issue. You can do a practical demonstration.
Yeah. You don't want to hurt it or harm it.
No. He's sensitive to touch, but...
I think I'll leave it to the experts who know how to.
So we can see we open, there's no upper incisor.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So well, this is the bottom. Baby. And the okay. bottom, the bottom teeth, it doesn't, we look at the upper jaw.
I see.
So this, once maybe in about 2-3 months, he'll start cutting, you'll see teeth coming out.
All right, okay. Oh, wonderful. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. Dear viewers and listeners, you know, Islam teaches us animal rights as well. It teaches us to be merciful, especially if you have an animal, whatever type of animal it is, for qurbani. In particular, you should make sure it's given enough food to eat, it's given enough water, to, clean water to drink, and alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we should not hurt or harm the animal in any way. Even psychologically, you know, it's mentioned that a person was sharpening the knife for sacrificing an animal, and he was sharpening it in front of the animal, and he was told that, why do you want to kill this animal before you sacrifice it? Because it's instilling fear. And when you do sacrifice, make sure it's not done in front of other animals as well. So mercy, we should show mercy to animals. Okay, I'm a stranger, so obviously they're going to run away. But show mercy to your animals. Because whoever shows mercy to animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show mercy upon that person. There's a narration that says in the summary of the hadith, where a person says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I'm sacrificing an animal, then I feel a lot of mercy. And then the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are merciful to the animal, Allah azza wa jal will have mercy on you. So make sure that it's fed, it's looked after, treated as a kind of pet, you could say. You have a pet at home, you look after it, you make sure that you feed it properly. So oppressing animals is strictly forbidden in Islam. So imagine human beings, imagine fellow Muslims, that we should try and look after them and have mercy upon them as well.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back, dear viewers, and we came from the farm life back to the reality, mashallah. This was our beloved and honorable Hafiz Maulana Rashad Attari Hafizahullah, who was, mashallah, on site with a brother, mashallah, Suhail Bhai.
Yes.
And what a beautiful demonstrations they have given us, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
What did you appreciate about this video, Ya Sayyidi?
There were quite a few things that I've appreciated. Mm. Mashallah, we see from youth, Munasab must have seen as well, that we are in contact with animals for qurbani. And we tend to see sometimes that animals are pushed within small spaces, you have lots of animals.
Right.
But on this clip that we watch now, it was good to see that, alhamdulillah, within each pen, there were a few animals and there was sufficient space for the animals.
Agreed.
At the
100%.
Same time, I appreciated the fact that the water, they mentioned that water is changed quite
regularly,
often. So the water was clean. So we didn't see dirty water. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, there was an abundance of food as well. The animals looked well taken care of, and this should be the way that we should look after animals well. Yes, unnecessarily, we shouldn't be grabbing animals and trying to open their mouth, but on this one, it was specifically for demonstration.
Yes.
So, alhamdulillah, it was done with care. But in general, unnecessarily, it's not for us to always catch, you know, 10 different animals just to see the teeth of the animal. But if you need to know which animal to buy, for example, then you can do so. And do so if you understand it, if you're an expert within the field. If you're not an expert within the field, some people, if you open the mouth of the animal, they can tell nothing. But they would ask that 5 animals have their mouths open so we can see their teeth. For what? Sometimes I wonder if they want to check if they brushed or they didn't brush. But these are animals, there's no need. If there's no need and you know nothing about the teeth, then don't open its mouth. It's unnecessarily, don't catch the animal, don't hurt the animal. So alhamdulillah, I appreciated many things about this clip, especially to see how well animals are taken care of. Allah bless those that are looking after these animals.
Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Another question also had related to the clip itself. MashaAllah, the viewers of Madani channel seen the clip, and with the clip, we also heard some interjection of a hen, a chicken, in the discussion.
MashaAllah.
It was interjecting as Masa was speaking. And maybe the viewers of Madani channel may assume that we do qurbani for chickens as well. Masab can share some Madani for Allah.
No, we are not allowed to do qurbani of chicken. Chicken, yes, chicken, you can. You can do, generally, you can sacrifice or slaughter and give a sadaqah. But for qurbani, no, we cannot do qurbani of chicken. This qurbani is a specific ibadah, where specific animals are sacrificed within specific days. So that is, qurbani can take place on goats,
right.
On sheep.
Right.
Qurbani can also take place on buffaloes, on cows, on bulls, on camels. So qurbani can take place on these various animals.
Wild animals like springbuck and stuff like that?
No. Qurbani cannot be taking place on wild animals. You can do it on the domesticated animals, such as the ones that we've mentioned now.
Yes.
That you have cows and bulls and camels and sheep and goats,
ox
and buffaloes,
that,
yes. Ox, etc. Alhamdulillah. So qurbani can take place on these. Some people feel that, okay, we'll sacrifice one sheep for qurbani of an entire family. It doesn't work this way. These are smaller animals, it's qurbani per person. And when we look at larger animals like oxen, bulls, and camels, etc., then they have 7 shares in those animals. So then 7 people can do their qurbani within that animal.
Subhanallah.
I hope that now Mulana Shad Sahib, he showed us, mashallah, sheep. I'm hopeful that perhaps next year he'll show us some bulls and some camels
inshallah,
as well, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, I think he's paved the way so far.
Alhamdulillah.
So next year we look forward to that as well. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Thumma Alhamdulillah. Shukran for watching this clip, dear viewers of Madani channel.
The animal, if an animal's rights are violated, they will be given justice, and they will be given justice on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment. So if anyone has hurt an animal, oppressed an animal, then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you will have to answer for it. In fact, it comes in the narration as well that the animals that have horns, if they have oppressed the animal that didn't have horns, on the Day of Judgment, all those animals will be brought back to life, and the one without horns will claim justice against the one that had horns and attacked it. Just like that, justice will be given to ants as well. That ant that had hurt another ant, justice will be claimed against
Allahu
it. So, and thereafter, they will be told that now perish, turn to dust. So they will turn to dust again. But this is a great lesson for us, is to show us that, O insan, O human beings, if justice is even given between animals, then most definitely justice will be given between human beings. Animals don't go to Jannah and Jahannam usually. The majority of animals. Yes, our ulama ikram mentioned certain animals that will be blessed to enter Jannah. But normally the general animals we see, they don't go to Jannah, or they don't go to Jahannam. But yet still on the Day of Judgment, the justice is carried out between them. So imagine we, insan, who can get Jannah or can get Jahannam, most definitely justice will be carried out between us.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And this makes man more bold. When he knows there's no retaliation from the person whom he's oppressing. And because animals are muted and they do not half the time say anything back to us, because Mawsa mentioned those domesticated animals that can be taken care of, you know, mostly they are the ones that go under a lot of torture. And this makes insan and man more bold in doing things like this, simply because there's no retaliation.
Yes, yes.
But Allah Azza wa Jalla, who is the best judge from all judges.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. He Azza wa Jalla will bring life, as Mu'asab mentioned. Justice will be served between the horned and hornless animals. Justice will always be served. And if Allah Azza wa Jalla can do justice between animals, then most definitely between humans as well. So don't ever think it will be pushed under the carpet. And I hit this animal, wo kya bolne wala hai? Kuch nahi bolne wala hai. Bahut kuch hone wala hai. What will happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah, as Mu'asab stated, we should have this fear within us, and we should give due respect to all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the way, just a question came to me, because this question was posed some time back. Does wuzu break when you take the name of a swine?
No. Wuzu doesn't break by taking the name of any animal, including a swine, a pig. If someone takes its name then or mentions it, then the wudu will not...
Usually, I think the concept is made because of that animal being a napak animal.
Yes.
And some don't even like to say the word pig, and it's spelled out P-I-G.
Yeah, then instead. People have this way because, see, the animal it's haram to eat,
right.
And it's also najisul ayn, meaning it's najis if you touch it as
yes.
well. But it is still a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah.
Even if someone was to oppress a pig, a swine, then that will be an oppression against
Allah
the creation of Allah subhanahu
Allah
wa ta'ala, and there is justice that will be served for
served
that as well.
As well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah Kareem shower mercy upon us.
Ameen.
The question is, should you hit an animal for disciplining it? Yes, sir.
This must be avoided as much as possible. See, if someone, just think, like for example, someone wants to discipline their child. So to discipline your child, you would avoid hitting the child as much as possible, isn't
100%.
It? Because you have a mahabba, you have a care, you have a love. Now this love and this mahabba, this care must also be extended to animals. So when there are ways of disciplining or ways of teaching an animal, without hitting the animal, then one should not go towards hitting an animal. The other worry is that some people will go beyond the limit. That means even if it was a small shot that was to say that no, it's not good. I know some may flick the ear, or some may tap the nose or so. But not everyone knows the limit. Some people tend to go beyond the limit because we are not feeling the pain. The animal is feeling the pain.
Agreed,
so we don't tend to pay attention to how much of pain is caused. And besides, the strength of the animal as compared to our strength is different. So for example, if someone has a cat or someone has a dog or someone has a sheep, they are not as strong usually as human beings. Therefore, human beings can actually capture these animals, can hold these animals because human beings are stronger. Now, if someone is hitting, he's going to be hitting according to his strength or her strength, and that animal is going to feel the pain according to its strength. And therefore, as much as possible, we should definitely avoid hitting any animal.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a beautiful Madani Pearl Mu'asab had shared there. And kash, we make amal upon this beautiful and amazing answer Mu'asab has given. Another question, do animals perform the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal?
Subhanallah, subhanallah. That's a beautiful question, mashallah. Yes, the animals perform the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, there's a narration in which the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that sometimes the animal performs the dhikr of Allah ta'ala better or more more than the rider of certain animals, like you get horses donkeys, people ride upon them. Sometimes those animals perform the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal more and better than the one who is riding the animal. So yes, when someone is thinking, this is related to the past question as well, when you're thinking of disciplining an animal by hitting it, just think, I'm going to be hurting something that performs the dhikr of my Rabb. And subhanallah Azza wa Jal, I think this will change our mindset immediately. There's an animal that is worshipping Allah. There's an animal that's doing the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. That Allah Ta'ala's special rahmah is upon because it is doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how is it for me to hurt such
Allah,
an animal?
Allah, Allah, what a beautiful answer, ya Sayyidi. In fact, as Mu'asab was speaking, subhanallah, another narration comes to mind. The Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu had stated that when Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam was nearing the fire, or he was into the fire by then. So, yes, Sayyidi, it was noticed that Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu stated that frogs went near with water in their mouths and they sprayed on the fire.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Frogs went closer to the fire and sprayed, and this was its little aql, its naqis aql it had, assuming that such a huge fire could get extinguished, but the koshish and the initiative it took. Allahu Akbar. What a huge fire. It was said in narrations that even birds could not fly over that fire.
Allah, Allah.
The flames were speaking with the clouds, ya Sayyidi. And such fire was lit that he had to be hurled into that fire with a device, like a swinging device. And then over and above, frogs still came. They passed by the fire with water in their mouth and they began to spray that fire with their mouth, trying to extinguish that fire because they knew the Khalil of Allah Azza wa Jalla has been put into the fire. So this narration also says that about frogs, that they perform abundant dhikr and should not be killed as well.
Yes.
So Al-Masa mentioned about animals, subhanAllah, specifically frogs is one creature that also performs abundance of Allah dhikr.
And they perform the dhikr very loudly as well.
Very loudly as well, subhanAllah. Even roosters in the morning, it is said that when roosters crow, it is the time of Adhan. And they crow because they see the angels descending.
SubhanAllah.
The narrations that mention that. So when you hear the adhan of a rooster, should we say, then do not stop it or chase it away or get irritated in the early parts of the morning, because remember, dear viewers, barakah and blessings is in the early parts of the morning.
SubhanAllah.
They say early birds catch the early worms.
Yes.
SubhanAllah. So we should also try and wake up in the morning, especially for Salatul Fajr, at least if not humans, who's supposed to wake up each other for Salah, at least if that on time is waking you up for Salah, let that be a reason for you to get up for Salah, inshallah,
subhanallah.
Because they would only take out those sounds when they see angels, subhanallah, the angels of rahmat, the angels of mercy. So animals in general also perform the dhikr of Allah, azza wa jalla. Do not oppress them. As Mawlana Sahib presented a beautiful hadith, sometimes they perform better dhikr than the rider itself. Allahu Akbar. So if you think you're a zakir person, if you think I'm an abid and good worshipper, subhanallah, we should make dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla for making us better. But remember, sometimes even that animal that we ride and we're interfering could be
closer in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla than us humans, simply because of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gets pleased with those bandas who worship Him, who obey Him. And if that animal is better than us, and yet we stand the chance to be better than them, because we are ashraful makhluqat, dear viewers. We should be better than them. But imagine, in akhlaq and in adab and in worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla, they have understood their purpose. And they perform the dhikr of Allah, yet we have become negligent of Allah's dhikr. May Allah have mercy on our souls, dear viewers. I think we have last 5 minutes, Sayyidi. Sayyidi, dragging the legs of an animal is a very, very popular question, because why? This is the only way, actually, Qurbani time we see people, if the animal has no horns to catch, the first thing you're going to go for is the wool of a sheep or the legs of that animal. Be it a goat as well. And they are dragged backwards. Sometimes they are carried on their back with four people carrying the legs, and they stretch the legs apart. And you see the legs all stretched apart. How is it to do that?
Right. See, there are sometimes, I'm going to speak on it very practically as well, for those who actually caught animals and took it forth to the place of Qurbani as well, you'd understand it a little better. Sometimes to catch the animal might be a bit difficult, and someone might catch by the leg.
Yes.
So catching by the leg, it's not a problem, provided you don't hurt the animal.
Right.
Otherwise, if you can catch by the wool, you can hold the animal, that's even better. But thereafter, after catching, pulling the animal, dragging it by its leg, where the animal falls down and it's being dragged on the ground by its leg. Now, this is painful. If anyone was to drag us by our leg, we would feel it difficult, especially on gravel ground, on hard ground. So this should be completely avoided. Yes, if it's possible to carry the animal, it should be carried. If you people want to carry the legs of the animal, or they want to carry the animal together, alhamdulillah. But importantly, Munasab mentioned as well, it's an important point for us to note, don't stretch the animal's legs apart and then carry it, because it's going to place the animal under difficulty. So even when we are taking an animal to the slaughter place, to the place of qurbani, the place of sacrifice, there too, along the way, ensure that it's carried in a good way. Yes, you don't want to carry so loosely that it runs away, because then it's going to be more difficult to catch and then bring it back. But carrying it to the place of qurbani, that must be done in a good way. Even placing it down at the place of qurbani must be done in a good way. Sometimes people tend to grab one leg, grab the other leg, and drop the animal themselves. So this can cause pain to the animal. So try not to do these things. Once we become conscious, then inshallah azza wa jalla, we become conscious of treating animals right, treating them with care, treating them with kindness, then inshallah these problems will be removed. And one of the great ways to become conscious, especially regarding qurbani animals, seeing that it's the season of qurbani, is just think that these are the animals that are going to carry people across the bridge of Sirat. These are the very animals that are going to come with their hooves, with their hair, with their meat, with their organs, to be placed upon the scale of good deeds. To make that scale of good deeds heavier on Yawmul Qiyamah for someone to go into Jannah. When we start thinking about the maqam Allah has given these animals, then inshallah we're going to treat them with lots of care, lots of kindness, and lots of love as well.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Kya baat hai Madini ki. Dear viewers of Madini channel, this takes us right to the end of the program. And subhanallah, ending with this narration that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Fatima Zahra radiyallahu anha, to be next to your sacrificed animal, to be around that animal. And according to one narration, he says, O Fatima, stand up and get closer to your animal.
Subhanallah.
For the drop of the animal, yani before the blood touches the ground, it becomes an expiation for the sins of the sacrificing person.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. So if the sacrificer, the one who is sacrificing the animal, subhanallah, that animal is actually an expiation for the wrongs that we have done in our lives. For every hair, for every wool, there's virtue, there's rewards, tawahab. Then imagine how fortunate are you that that animal is becoming the reason for our forgiveness. Subhanallah. Treat them well, dear viewers of Madani channel. Treat them well. Let's make dua inshallah azza wa jalla that we're never gonna treat animals bad, and especially for youngsters who like to make dogs fight. They like to cause animals to fight and see who wins the match. People make money over these type of sports.
Astaghfirullah.
Our topic was very general, actually showing cruelty to animals, and this is disliked in Islam. Ya Allah Kareem, have mercy on our souls. Maybe we repent. If you have hurt any animal, you should ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make a firm intention not to cause any harm to them, inshallah. Teach our children shafqat, muhabbat, love. And they will then show the same thing to humans as well, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So stay tuned, make dua for the ummah at large, and tomorrow night, inshallah, we shall be back with another fantastic episode to discuss, inshallah, on Madinah channel. So stay locked, stay tuned, keep reciting Durood e Pak, and keep smiling. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A journey of a lifetime. From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. A journey of hearts through time and place. A journey of heart through time and place.